The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Oh, yeah, good day, Toto. It is Friday, September 14, 2012. And it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Yeah, and as you can tell, I'm very happy after last night's drubbing of the Chicago Bears by my beloved Green Bay Packers. Thanks, guys, for giving us a win. A great night. Great times had by all. Big thanks to Ray Crystal and Hiram for showing up and being brave Bears fans who showed up to hang out with me and Mrs. Radical watching the game at the refectory. I'm sure they had a good time watching all the hijinks that ensue when we make touchdowns and so forth. I also got to be the main guys. That was pretty cool. Some of the main guys were working, so I got to pass the flag around, do the high fives, lead the cheers. It was a lot of fun. But you know how I enjoy that stuff. Cannabis Carrie's in our virtual studio out there getting ready for our hemp headlines. How you doing, Carrie?
Just have big international football games like that.
Yeah,
right?
No more war, just football.
There you go. Although everybody else in the world sees that as throwing around kicking around a little round ball, so we have to work on that.
That's right. Carrie brings us our 420 headline news, all the hemp headlines that will fit in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. What's in the news today, Carrie?
Today we're going to squeeze in some news. We've got the Arkansas Supreme Court making a decision on medical marijuana, that ballot measure. I'm going to tell you about that. Also, Kalamazoo, Michigan, they are eyeing some decrim measure. I'm going to tell you where that's coming from. There's a new cannabis study out on epilepsy and a warning to those on Florida beaches and really American beaches. You might want to leave the square groupers where they're at.
All right, we'll get to that. And then behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at drug testing. I've got some news from Florida where the ACLU's lawsuit against Governor Rick Scott and his drug testing for welfare provisions has uncovered some serious abuses that we want to talk about. Then we are going to do a little bit of Rockin' Friday music. Herb Thrasher's going to call in, and we got some great music from Truck Fighter to bring to you today. At half past, it's time for our High Times preview. We hope to get Dave Bienenstock on the phone and talk about this weekend's High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Seattle, which we will be heading to right after the show. Yes, that's right. We'll be tearing down and heading out right after the show, heading up to the VIP party. I got the tickets all printed out. Carrie, I've got a ticket for you, so make sure we get that to you sometime.
Oh my gosh, I'm heading up there. I'm super excited.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Danny Danko will be up there, all our friends from High Times. Of course, Ganja John and Cascadia Concentrates are entered in the solvent concentrates category. We really anticipate good things for Ganja John in that. And then at the end of the show, time for a little bit of radical rant. I'm going to get a little bit more into drug testing by taking a look at how some San Diego high school districts have reacted to a death at a party, and you'll just be amazed at some of the crazy things people will do when they're scared of drugs. It's the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, on theweedblog.com, pot.tv, mikecan.net, and of course always at radicalrust.com. Check out my newest post on Alternet. It's up now.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show. the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take marijuana off of the streets, put it in a store. We can make it harder for the teens to buy, sell it like a bottle of wine. Jobs for our people, money for schools, who could ask for more? Strict regulation, fund education, yes on 64.
Wiz Khalifa's wallet and cell phone are missing. Again. And Taco Bell's already been searched. We got to look somewhere else. The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way. The cosmos is full beyond me.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news with our senior news director, Cannabis Carrie.
Thanks, Russ. Cannabidiol is one of the lesser-known classes of molecules known as cannabinoids found in the marijuana plant. Now it will be tested on human subjects with epilepsy as soon as next year. GW Pharmaceuticals, the British drug company known for its whole plant cannabis extract medicine called Sativex, has found that the cannabidiol molecule, or CBDV, was successful as an anticonvulsant when tested on rats and mice in the lab. CBDV, unlike the best-known cannabinoid, THC, is not psychoactive. It was found in lab tests to not only be helpful in treating seizures when used alone, it also seems to work well in combination with currently used anti-seizure medications. GW Pharmaceuticals hope to begin human trials at the University of Reading in 2013. Conservative coalition of groups in Arkansas have lost their bid with the Arkansas Supreme Court to deliver oral arguments against the ballot measure seeking to legalize medical marijuana in the state. The Arkansas justices yesterday denied the request for oral arguments in a lawsuit filed by a coalition of conservative groups called Coalition to Protect Arkansas Values. They had challenged that proposed initiative. The suit alleges that the 384 worded question does not give enough information to the voters. The proposal does acknowledge that if passed, marijuana would still be illegal under federal law, but the lawsuit challenges that it does not tell the voters clearly enough that they can still be prosecuted. Arkansas for Compassionate Care, the group behind the measure, also filed briefs in that lawsuit, asking the justices to reject the suit because they believe that it accurately describes how the law would change if passed. The coalition has asked the court to remove the proposal from the ballot or order election officials to not count any votes for it. Arkansas is the first southern state that will ask its voters to approve legalizing marijuana for medical uses. The ballot initiative would legalize marijuana in the state for patients that have a qualifying condition and are under a doctor's care. Patients that qualify for medical marijuana program would be able to obtain marijuana from nonprofit dispensaries, or they can grow up to 6 plants for themselves. It is not clear when the court will rule on that lawsuit. Kalamazoo, Michigan's city attorney has asked the city commissioners to pass an ordinance to decriminalize marijuana possession in the city. The ordinance would make possession of marijuana enforceable by a ticket instead of an arrest. City Attorney Clyde Robinson has asked for a reading of the proposed ordinance at the city council meeting come Monday. Robinson says that the ordinance would free up jail space and police officers along with valuable police resources. Currently, marijuana possession in any amount is a misdemeanor with a penalty of up to 1 year imprisonment and a $2,000 fine. Custodial arrests take at least a full hour between arrest, transporting, and processing, and a citation can be issued in 10 to 15 minutes. But the real selling point for the city attorney is that officers would no longer have to store marijuana as evidence in small amounts. If you are caught with marijuana and you want to just come to the court and pay a fine and be done with it, any marijuana confiscated can be immediately destroyed. The ordinance would parallel a state provision that someone who pleads guilty who has never been convicted of a controlled substance offense could be placed on probation and have that case dismissed upon completion of that probation without a conviction on their record. And you got to be careful what you pick up off the beach. This morning, several bricks of soggy marijuana washed up on a Florida beach. Witnesses watched an early morning beachcomber pick up one of those bricks and then watched him leave the beach area very quickly on foot. A police officer dispatched to the scene saw Reginaldo Avizetto walking on a street near the beach, and when he asked the man to stop, he began running for about five blocks before he threw the brick of marijuana into a sand dune and started doing exercises, according to the police report. It seems the man had no connection to the drug drop-off, but Avizetto was charged nonetheless with possession of marijuana and tampering with evidence. The Broward County Sheriff's Office said the marijuana recovered on the beach was worth between $50,000 and $75,000. This has been Carrie Gallagher for the Russ Bellville Show at the end of the week, Friday, September 14th, 2012.
Thanks so much, Carrie. When we come back, a little behind the headlines, we're going to take another look at the state of Florida and the lawsuit against Governor Rick Scott's drug testing for welfare program. You're listening to the Russ Bellville Show. Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So,
there's nothing funny about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour, and we're going to get behind the headlines now on a subject that, well, truthfully, it's the subject that brought me to marijuana law reform, and that's drug testing. I find drug testing to be repellent and abhorrent and a terrible injustice to our cannabis community. And this next story goes to Florida, where there is a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union filed against Florida Governor Rick Scott. He hastily assembled a program to drug test applicants for temporary assistance to needy families and other welfare assistance. This is a politically induced maneuver on his part. He's made it a part of his reelection platform. He's going to get tough on the welfare people, force them to take drug tests. And it kind of personally gets to me because I was one of those families. I was one of those kids that got by on temporary assistance to needy families and food stamps and school lunch, free school lunch programs and things like that. So these are my family and the people I know, you know, in my life that you're talking about when you're talking about these people. So according to the court filings, during the four-month program, which was halted by a U.S. district judge last October, 108 applicants out of 4,044 tested positive for drugs. That results in just about 2.6% of all applicants testing positive. Those drug tests resulted in more than $100,000 of state money spent to reimburse the 3,936 people who tested negative for the cost of the drug tests that they had to pay for in order to apply for welfare. Now, I looked this stuff up because, you know, that's what I do. And I found that the nation's leading drug tester, Quest Diagnostics, states that 4.1% of the general U.S. workforce tested positive for all drug tests in 2011, and 3.5% tested positive for pre-employment testing, compared to the 2.6% of welfare applicants. Thus, welfare applicants are testing positive at lower rates than job seekers, which damages the argument by government, Governor Scott's lawyer, Jesse Panuccio, excuse me there, who told the Palm Beach Post, quote, testing would stabilize families, he contended, because it would discourage drug use and therefore make it easier for adults to obtain employment. It's also commonplace, he wrote, noting that more than two-thirds of employers with 100 or more employees have drug testing programs. Quote, moreover, society has come to view drug testing as an accepted practice, a social norm that permeates many areas of life, end quote, he wrote. Now, not all of us in society see the seizure of our body fluids as a measure of our character as a social norm, especially given the fact that marijuana and its metabolites are detectable in our bodily fluids far longer than the use of more dangerous and more addictive drugs. We see this accepted practice as an institutionalized discrimination against cannabis consumers that denies us employment, housing, child custody, education, security, income, rights, and liberty. And it's every bit as pernicious as a no Irish need apply disclaimer in an early 20th century classified ad or a coloreds only water fountain. Now, in the ACLU's lawsuit, evidence has shown that the program was a mess from the beginning, not very well planned, and subject to abuses of welfare applicants that included one county having no drug testing lab for 37 days and applicants being forced to travel as much as 100 miles to a clinic south of Miami. There were three counties that lacked any lab at all for September. Also in September, a state worker in Palm Beach County found a pile of 9 unrelated lab results in a case file. Each lab result had the applicant's name and sometimes social security number. On one occasion, a representative from a state-approved lab showed up unannounced at an applicant's home to collect a sample. The lab official directed the applicant to go to the bathroom, even though it meant leaving her children alone with him. And a patient on dialysis was patients on dialysis were required to give drug testing samples by catheter. When a caseworker requested an exemption for a dialysis patient, state officials said there was, quote, no good cause, end quote, to grant it. And even the state workers themselves expressed concerns that there were going to cause far too many problems with all of this. In the Sun Sentinel, I find dozens of applicants who tested positive for drugs were then referred to a state abuse hotline and investigated, the record showed, although testing positive for drugs alone is not a reason for an investigation under other circumstances. Emails included in the lawsuit show that some workers expressed concern over the abuse hotline referrals. Quote, oh my, do these really have to go to the hotline? Does every doctor who tests a patient have to report a positive if they have kids or cops with a DUI? Many people will have prescriptions. I really recommend we do not handle these, DCF Northeast Region Administrator Nancy Dreiser wrote in an email on June 6th. Now, when we cover these stories, we often see comments along the line of, well, if I have to drug test to get a job, they should have to drug test to get welfare. Folks, the solution to the injustice of workplace drug testing is not to spread that injustice to our school children and our needy citizens. The solution is to legalize marijuana and end the practice of seizing our citizens' bodily fluid without probable cause. I have a dream of a land where we're judged by the content of our character, not the content of our pee. All right, folks, we know what that sound means. It's 20 after the hour. Time to take a break. And happy 420 to our friends in Charleston, West Virginia. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
Seventeen states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, folks. 22 after the hour, and we got some great music here. Herb Thrasher just emailed this to me. I don't know if he'll be able to call in on today's show. We moved the time on him, and so he has to readjust his work schedule and his break schedule and all that so they can get to us. I'm sure we'll have him in the future. Also, for tonight's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, we're going to be running a replay of the Herb Thrasher show with Lacero live in studio, as I will be driving up to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Seattle and will be unable to bring the show. So we will have that Lacero replay tonight, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, every Friday night right here, 8 p.m. Pacific on RadicalRust.com. Now, coming up, we got this next band, Truck Fighters, who we've played before on the show and on the Herb Thrasher show. And this next song is called In Search of The. And, of course, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour brings you all of the best of the rock and metal and jam and punk music that's out there. Also a little bit of alt country. If you like that Hank Williams 3 kind of stuff, we'll get some of that on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour as well. But for now, we're just going to go right into the rock. This is Truck Fighters with In Search of The.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Just get the session started cause it's 4:20.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
Welcome back, everyone. 28 after the hour, and I'm going to be just seeing this guy in just a few hours. Dave Bienenstock's on the line from High Times Magazine. Dave, how you doing, my man? Hello. Just a minute, Dave.
I'm getting ready for a great event.
No, we're going to have ourselves a good time. High Times Medical Cannabis Cup taking place at the Fremont Studios up there in Seattle, Washington, Saturday and Sunday. What time are we opening the doors, Dave?
High noon both days. And there's actually also a VIP party tonight. So all the information's on medcancup.com.
And that's also at the Fremont, correct?
No, the VIP party is at a separate location tonight. I don't want to say it incorrectly, so I'll just say the information's at medcancup.com.
I'll have to look that up so I make sure I end up at the right place. We're taking off right after the show today, so we'll drive the I-5 slog from Portland, and we'll see you there, hopefully before it's the next day. You never know how that traffic goes. So for this...
For sure, well...
This is the first High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Seattle. What do we what sort of surprises do we have in store for people that have never been to one?
Well, I mean, if you've never been to one, it's all a surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we have the competition aspect. We have a medicating area for state legal patients. We have a full seminar lineup today, which I'm really excited about. I think probably most interesting to Washington residents will be our debate on the I-502 legalization initiative. But we also have segments where we'll have a very qualified medical doctor from University of Washington here to answer people's questions about how to get the most medical use out of cannabis. We're going to have a GABS panel to discuss what's really become a very hot button issue or a hot knife issue in our community. And we're going to, lunatic on the street is broken me. And we're going to have an edibles panel, and also a great, our cultivation experts will be there. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the medical cannabis cups are always exciting. And of course, these panels that you're talking about, we're going to be streaming them live right here on RadicalRust.com and the other affiliated blogs and websites that cover our stream. And I'm really looking forward to the legal panel. Who are the people that will be debating the I-502 issue?
I'm just really happy that we have such a great panel. We have Allison Holcomb, who is from the ACLU and also New Approach Washington, which is the primary sponsors of I-502. And we have Pete Holmes. This is both from the pro I-502 side. Pete Holmes, who is actually the current city attorney for Seattle, and also one of the sponsors of I-502. So obviously, Seattle is an extremely progressive city when it comes to this issue. To be represented at our event by the city attorney, the mayor also supports it. He's not going to be on the panel, but just gives you a good idea. And then on the con on I-502, not the con on legalization in general or in theory, but the con on I-502 will be Jeffrey Steinborn from Washington Normal, and also just a very well-known criminal defense attorney here with decades of representing marijuana cases, and Douglas Hyatt from a group called Sensible Washington, and also a long-time attorney defending marijuana cases here in Seattle. So you know, what pleases me most is I think we have four extremely knowledgeable people here to talk about the issues in a factual way. You know, my job is just going to be to make sure everybody's well informed enough to make the decision that's right for them. And also, you know, I just really want to remind everybody, I'm an outsider to this community in Seattle, but we're all one big community when it comes to marijuana law reform. And, you know, my other message is just going to be, there's going to be a November 6th. You know, the election is November 5th. I-502 will pass or it won't. There's going to be a next day, and we're all going to find that our interests are in common again. And we're going to find that the people who hate pot and have always hated pot are not going anywhere. They're going to still be our opposition. And so, you know, we need to remember that now as we have a spirited debate, that we all are on the same side ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree exactly with the sentiment. A little difference with the dates. November 6th is Election Day, and there will be a November 7th. But I get what you're saying. Absolutely. And
everyone else will still be in November 7th.
That's right. There will be an after election. The point still stands. And I agree with you on this panel. I'm really excited to be able to stream this live for people and to be able to get this recorded. I'll have it up on YouTube later that day. And this was something that was also done at the Seattle Hemp Fest. And I covered that and streamed it and got it up on YouTube. And one of the things that was that bothered me, and no offense to anybody that participated in the panel, but you had two people who were lawyers who were debating against two people who were not lawyers. And that just seemed fundamentally unfair to me, to the no on I-502, you know, if they want to put their best foot forward, let's put together some people that, you know, can speak to the legal aspects of this. Douglas Hyatt, well-respected Seattle defense attorney. Jeffrey Steinborn, normal board member for forever, and of course coined Steinborn's rule, which says only break one law at a time. These guys are, you know, brilliant legal minds, and the fact that guys like this who have serious bona fides in marijuana legalization, nobody can accuse them of being anti-legalization, just shows how this issue has really, you know, brought up a lot of feelings in the cannabis community that really need to be thought out. I applaud you guys for having this panel and giving us an opportunity to hear some facts about it.
Yeah, and I really want to stress too that, like, whatever side of the debate you come down on, it's the fact that these divisions are coming up is a sign of our strength and our progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're at a ship at sea and there's no sight of land, you know, as marijuana law reform was for decades, not through lack of hard work and rowing, it was just a big sheet across. Everybody's on the same page. We got to find land. And now we're getting to this exciting moment where land really seems to be in sight, and the arguments we're really having are, where should we bring the ship in and how should we bring the ship in? And although that's going to bring up these disagreements, it's a sign of our progress, and it's a result of our progress. And we need to keep that in mind too, that we're getting past the if and to the when and how when it comes to legalization. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting to see this going down in three states now, Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, all voting on very different views of what legalization should be. Washington, perhaps the most restrictive with no home grow and the per se DUI provision. Colorado, maybe the Goldilocks solution, home grow and some home grow and commercial productions. And then Oregon's being the, you know, treat it like tomatoes model, let people have as much as they want to cultivate and to possess. Come Election Day, we'll see how these turn out at the polls, and we'll all have to work together on whatever the next iteration of legalization is. So thanks again for that panel. Now on to another panel. You know, we had talked to you last month about the High Times preview. The Dabs issue had come out with the first cover to feature Dabs, and you've got a panel on Dabs and oil. Can you tell us a little bit about who's on the panel and about the judging and the category in the cup itself for these concentrates?
Sure. Well, my colleague, Bobby Black, who wrote that cover story in the magazine and has been really on this issue of late, will be moderating that panel. I can't say a hunt because I know there was a couple of shifts of who was going to attend, but we definitely have Dr. Greg Carter who will also be on a separate panel to answer people's medical questions, but he'll be there to bring a well-informed medical perspective to this issue of dabs. And then the rest of the panel is, are people who are really involved in the creation of this, who want to see it done in a safe manner. And I think everybody, it gets back to the same other issue. You know, I don't think that High Times' role in all of this is ever to tell people what to do or what to think, but to put information out there and from qualified sources and let people make up their own minds. I could say we had a similar panel at our most recent event in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it was just great for me to see well more than hundreds of people there taking notes, asking questions, paying attention, nodding their heads or shaking their heads, but hearing it from people who are qualified to speak to the issue. Because I think, always in our community, and especially with the internet, anybody, and I love blogs and I love bloggers, but when you're talking about things that are potentially...
explosive?
Yes. Thank you. You don't want to get your information at random. And I could just say my personal view to anyone within the sound of my voice, this is something, don't do it. If your question in your mind is, do I know how to do this? The answer is no. So I'm not a big personal proponent of it, but I am a big, huge proponent of people getting actual factual information on this subject. And I think that's what the panel really is going to accomplish.
Now, also at these High Times Medical Cannabis Cups, we got all sorts of great musical guests that come in. Can you give us some of the names?
Yeah, well, the headliner, like I said, the VIP party, which is where the music is tonight. The band is Conspirator. They're the headliners. It's a side project of a few of the guys from the Disco Biscuits. Oh. I checked it out. I listened to it, a bunch of their stuff online, and it was really great. It's definitely going to be a fun party vibe and, a fun way to kick off the event on Friday night.
Excellent. All right. So we've got the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. The VIP party is tonight. Tomorrow and Sunday is the cup itself. The vending and the expos all going on. The panels all going. Doors open at noon. The awards themselves, we get to those about, 7 on Sunday? 8 o'clock? Something like that?
Yeah, about 7, no earlier than 7, maybe no later than 7:30.
Yeah, and we've got what are the cups themselves? What prizes are people competing for?
The different categories are for indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, edibles. There is a special award for whatever has the highest CBD by percentage, which is something we really like to promote. Because it's an important part of medical cannabis, for sure, to have those high CBD strains available. And as far as for the cups, those are the categories.
Okay, excellent. And before we go, of course, we talked all about the cup, but this segment is usually our preview of the High Times magazine. Real quick, have you got some of the features that we can see in this next upcoming issue?
Well, the big cover story is about revoke control growing, essentially setting up a cannabis grow room that can be controlled. I'm neither a technical guy nor one of our growing experts, but it's something where you can basically monitor all the levels and the CO2 and the nutrients remotely via a computer or an app or whatever you want to call it. So the grow people are extremely excited about that one. So if that's where your interest lies, I encourage you to check out that next issue.
All right. Any celebrity or musician interviews?
Russell, I'm like wandering around the venue right now. I don't have the issue in front of me yet. I'm going to say a bunch. It would be my answer to that.
Okay. And of course, one last thing, the High Times Medical Cannabis Quarterly is still going on. What are the latest articles we're going to check out on that, and where can people pick it up?
Oh, sure. They can pick it up pretty much wherever High Times is sold, and the bookstores are a good place to give them a call and see if they carry it. The cover story is, to me, one of the more cool ones I've had a chance to write is about a farmer's market, and we're actually very close to Seattle in Tacoma, Washington, where they have like about 50 vendors and people can come in. You can sample direct from the growers. You can comparison shop, and it's just a great, I had a great community spirit. And I really just thought, you know, I don't think any one model for distributing medical cannabis is the way to distribute medical cannabis. I think that the more viable models to do that we have, the better off patients will be and everyone else. But I did just think, what a wonderful addition to the community of Tacoma. Once every 2 weeks on a Sunday, it brings out patients, growers, industry people, activists, and I can just see how tightly knit that community has become. So that's our cover story. For this issue, you see a big cover line that says Inside a Cannabis Farmer's Market, and lots more interesting stories in that one as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave Bienenstock. I know how busy you get at these events, and you must be running around ragged already, so we'll let you go, but we'll see you in a few hours up at the VIP party, and thanks for having us up there.
All right, far out. You know where to find me, Russ.
I sure do. We'll see you later, Dave.
All right, take care.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have more from the Radical Rant. I'm going to take more of a look at drug testing in America, and my opinions on that are pretty well known. So stick around. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and you can make yourself a part of that voice by calling our voicemail line at 971-533-7111. Got a comment, a question, anything you'd like to share with the marijuana nation, get it recorded now, 971-533-7111. We're back with the Radical Rant, and then after that, Toker Talk Radio. Stick around, it's the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. No graphics for this one, but we'll just rant anyway. Got a big surprise for you. This will shock you, I'm sure. People who run drug testing companies think you ought to drug test your kids. I know, amazing, huh? This comes back to a story. I kind of got into this little trail of stories that I was following. I found one story when I was looking up the Florida drug testing thing, and it led me to another story, which led me to another story, which kind of painted this terrible picture of overreaction and just overreaction and acting in an illogical fashion with respect to the threat of drugs in our schools. And just overcompensating, you know, just this not thinking rationally when it comes to these things. Let me set the table for you. In the suburbs of San Diego, last year, there was a tragedy. Last November, a varsity lacrosse player at Poway High School was attending a party when he and some friends began smoking some marijuana. According to reports, the young man later began banging himself in the head with a frying pan at the party and, through circumstances that are still unclear, ended up dead, shot between the eyes with a long rifle. Now, the media and all the anti-drug crusaders, well, they quickly jumped on this latest drug scare bandwagon. The local news channel interviewed a drug counselor named Nancy Knott, who speculated that the marijuana might have been laced with bath salts, the mislabeled designer drug that's sold in head shops that supposedly mimics a meth or cocaine-like high. Because that's what the kids do, right? When they got good old-fashioned marijuana, that's not good enough. They got to lace it with bath salts. Mm-hmm, sure. However, the subsequent autopsy found only traces of marijuana and alcohol in the boy's system and could not conclude whether the death was suicide or homicide, while noting that the boy was not depressed or suicidal. Now, in response to that tragedy, of course, some state lawmaker immediately pledged to introduce a bill banning bath salts, and parents began demanding answers. In nearby Rancho Bernardo, the high school responded by instituting a program of voluntary random drug testing for the high school football team. Yes, voluntary. Just under half of the school's 100 football players have agreed to submit to random testing. There's nothing preventing, say, the pot-smoking running back from just opting to not be a part of the program, while the non-pot-smoking lineman could choose to pee randomly, I don't know, guess to prove that he's clean. Now, fortunately for the taxpayers, the parents who opt to have their kids drug tested have to pay for that service at Rancho Bernardo High, perhaps explaining why less than half of the school's 100 football players are involved. But in two other high schools in San Diego County, Oceanside and El Camino, the athletes and the cheerleaders, people, are subject to a mandatory random drug testing policy. Yes, if you want to wave your pom-poms and kick and yell, go team, we got to have a cup of your urine. Now, this program began in the Oceanside School District under federal funding, but when the district lost that federal funding as the federal government stopped giving those grants out in 2008, when the Obama administration came in, the district itself has picked up the tab. That's right, Oceanside School District, cut off from federal funds in 2008 to drug test the kids, has just decided to spend the taxpayers' money to do so instead. Now, the nearby Vista Unified School District ceased their testing program when the federal grant money ran out. They found out from the hundreds and hundreds of tests that they took, fewer than 15 positive tests turned up. And of those 15 or less, some were explained by legitimate medical reasons. And with so few positive tests at such great expense, the district concluded the effort just wasn't worth the money. With Rancho Bernardo's voluntary testing policy, it's hard to imagine they'll turn up any more positive drug tests than Vista Unified did. However, that did not stop Will Wooten, the director of a local drug rehab center called Pacific Treatment Services, from praising the Rancho Bernardo program in a recent op-ed in the local paper, where he said, quote, "I'd like to commend the Rancho Bernardo High School football team for initiating drug testing for their teams. I feel this is a great opportunity to allow kids to make the right choice and perhaps prevent another tragedy. I hope other teams and schools will follow their lead." Yeah, so we're going to institute a random voluntary drug testing program for the high school football team so we can prevent another tragedy of a lacrosse player from another school who smoked pot and then did something crazy and ended up dead. Okay. Now, it's easy enough to see this rent-seeking behavior. I mean, when you sell drug rehab services, it behooves you to promote drug testing, since the drug testing often leads to parents who enroll their kids in your drug re-education camps, and they might not even need it. It also happens to fatten your bottom line. Oh, and ditto for the referrals from the school drug testing programs and the juvenile courts. For a little bit of fine print at the bottom of the Pacific Treatment Services website reveals, we are recognized by the San Diego Juvenile Court as a treatment provider. If your teen was recently arrested or has an open court case, we can help. Our program is designed to fulfill any legal obligations, as well as reports and drug testing as requested. Our program is designed to fulfill the requirements of school contracts for education, counseling, group participation, and drug testing. We will review your teen's case and assist you in each area. Mm-hmm. But this Will Wooten, the director of Pacific Treatment Services, he tries to make a convincing case to the parents to distrust their adolescents. It's for their own good. He says, quote, "I do very strongly believe and have seen where drug tests can prevent abuse and give non-addict adolescents a reason not to use. Therein lies the difference. Non-addicts don't allow their choices to be dictated by drugs. They may be at a party and say, sure, I'll try it, because there may be no consequences. Now, with the possibility of a test in the future, we've created a reason for them to pass. We've built in a preemptive consequence, allowing them to think about their choice," end quote. Okay, so when your non-addict adolescent engages in a behavior for which there are no consequences, you need to violate his trust to manufacture a consequence? The marijuana smoking by itself is something so benign you can't dissuade your kid from trying it based on its own harms, so you have to make some up? Look, drug testing your kids is a very bad idea. Look, please do not take my word for it. I don't have kids. Take it from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which, quote, "encourages parents who are concerned that their child may be using drugs or alcohol to consult their child's primary care physician or other health professional rather than rely on school-based drug screening or use home drug testing products," end quote. The doctors who study children also note that, quote, "claims that the existence of a school or home-based drug testing program will help adolescents refuse drugs and provide legitimate reasons to resist peer pressure to use drugs are not proven. And drug testing programs, quote, risk harming the parent-child and school-child relationships by creating an environment of resentment, distrust, and suspicion," end quote. So, folks, I don't have kids, so I don't know what goes through your minds when you're worried about your kid, whether or not they're getting involved with drugs or alcohol. But it seems to me that the most positive thing you can do is to be there in their lives, to be present, to be talking to them, to be listening to them and trying to understand what they're going through in life, rather than distrusting them and accusing them of crimes and misbehavior from the get-go. And when you institute these drug testing programs for the kids that want to get into cheerleading or on the football team, or for God's sake, we've got drug testing programs that are drug testing 11-year-olds that are trying out for the school orchestra. When you do that, you are taking a kid who is just beginning to figure out who they are, just beginning to find out what groups and what cliques that they are going to work with and who's going to be their friends and how their social relationships are going to set up. And we know from science, we know from surveys that kids that have more extracurricular activities, kids that are more involved in arts and sciences and sports, have less incidence of drug abuse, less incidence of addiction later in life, and tend to do better in school. So when you're drug testing these kids, You are dissuading them, the ones who might be beginning to have problems, maybe the kid who did smoke a joint behind the shop room class, you're now dissuading them from trying out for chess club, for trying out for drama, for trying out for the cheerleading team or the football team, and getting them away from the influences that might lead them to more drug taking and more risky behavior. You're taking them away from opportunities to be supervised, to direct their energies, to direct their spare time, to direct their money and focus towards something constructive, something artistic, something athletic, something that could better themselves, perhaps even provide a professional career someday. And you're instead suggesting that they go back and hang out with the kids behind the shop class and smoke some more weed. Well, I don't want to take that drug test. You know, I smoked a joint at that party. I better not try out for the team. Gosh, I got nothing else to do on a Saturday night. Boy, those guys that got me some weed a while ago, they sure were nice. They were fun. It's this lack of forethought, this lack of understanding how teenagers behave, how they work, and what they're really craving. I can't speak to a lot of teenage experimentation with drugs because I didn't have any. I knew I drank a lot when I was a kid. I started drinking when I was 16. But I know that when I was in high school, I was so involved with drama, with speech and debate, with bands that I was in, that there just wasn't time to find a hookup or get involved with something else or even a desire to want to do so. I know I'm just one anecdotal fringe example. And I'd love to talk to parents in hour two here in Toker Talk Radio at 971-533-7111. What are you doing to keep your kid off weed? If indeed you think your kid should be off weed, maybe that's even something we can talk about. Hey, I'm Radical Russ for Cannabis Carry and Brian the Red. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you up in Seattle at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Live coverage starts tomorrow, noon Pacific time. Runs as long as we can. We'll have two handy cams up there getting all sorts of interviews and tape segments and panels for you to enjoy, plus live coverage from our booth in the nonprofit area. Stop by and say hi, folks. We'll see you up there. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.